Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. It's me, Clark Van Deventer, here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. I hope that you are having a great day. All right. Hey, if you have not, go. I never do this, but I'm doing it right now. So how much does this mean, right? Go back and listen to the last episode of the podcast. All right. Now, look, I'm not saying stop listening to this one and go listen to that one, but go, don't miss the last episode on becoming a peak performance fundraiser. All right. This is something that means a lot to me. If you go to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Instagram account, right? Like if you find us on Instagram, the bio we have in the Major Gifts Fundraiser Instagram account, it has this quote, "Guard your thoughts, for your thoughts determine your actions." And you are not going to become a great fundraiser. You are not going to become a peak performance fundraiser on accident. How'd you get so great at this, man? Well, it was an accident. Like, it doesn't work that way. If you're going to be great, you are going to get there on purpose. All right. That's a line I have often used. Like if I'm writing to someone who I have admired, or if I'm writing to someone who has inspired me and I've interacted with them, and I will sometimes write to someone and say, "I love watching you live on purpose. I love watching you live deliberately." So go back and listen to that episode on becoming a peak performance fundraiser. All right, in today's episode, I'm not talking about becoming a peak performance fundraiser, although these are things that you should know if you want to become a peak performance fundraiser. In today's episode, I want to talk about making your pitch. Now, before I talk about making your pitch, I want to say this. In general, I think that fundraisers spend too much time thinking about how to make their pitch. We should spend more time thinking about how do I listen to my donor? How do I ask them interesting questions that will enlighten me and help me better understand them, right? Because my desire should not so much be that I would be understood, but that I would understand. So I want to get my donor talking about what they're interested in, why they give, asking questions like, if you were to give a gift above and beyond anything you've ever given before, what would you want to accomplish? And you can email me, right, Clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. You can email me and get my copy, my long list of my favorite strategic questions to ask in meetings. And I am working with a client on this right now. And I told this client, literally, I said, you are not allowed to ask for gifts right now. You're not. I was like, we're going to do a round of meetings. You are not allowed to ask for gifts. But I still want your meetings to have a sense of purpose. I want the relationship to feel like it's going somewhere. And you give meetings a sense of purpose, and you give a relationship a sense that it's going somewhere by asking good strategic questions. And right, we have the 75-25 rule. You should be listening 75% of the time. You should only be talking 25% of the time. Now, if you are only going to talk 25% of the time, this is the other thing that fundraisers don't spend much time thinking about. If you're only going to be talking 25% of the time, you need your words to pack a punch. And I think that most fundraisers really lack discipline. They talk indiscriminately. They're just telling stories indiscriminately. Like they're launching into talking points indiscriminately. You need your words to be focused. And there will come a time in a relationship. All right, now we're going to talk about making your pitch. There will come a time in the relationship when it is time to make your pitch. I remember one time in particular, I was courting a donor, right? Like, this is a courtship. And the moment had come where it was time for me to ask for the gift. There had been so much lead up at this point. And at this point, the donor knows the organization so well. This couple, right? They knew our programs. They knew our mission. We knew each other so well. But still, right? Like, because I am giving the relationship forward progress all the time, it builds to this moment where I show up one day and they know, just like my wife knew, I was getting ready to ask her to marry me. There came a point in our relationship where the donor knew I was coming to ask for a gift on this particular day. And the donor said to me, after we got through the pleasantries, well, you want to make your pitch now or do you want to make it later? Right? And I sort of laugh and I say, well, you know, I do have something I want to share with you. So yeah, if it's okay, let's talk about it now. And I jump into my pitch. Right now, I've got 13 things for you today, 13 things that I want you to keep in mind when you are crafting your pitch. And you can keep these things in mind when you are making your pitch as you build up toward your ask. But you can also keep these things in mind in general, right? In general, when you are talking about your organization, when you're in the elevator talking about your organization, or you're at a Rotary meeting talking about your organization, or you're in any individual donor meeting, keep these things in mind. But certainly in that pitch, and when I talk about the pitch, when I have a buildup toward an ask, and I've asked all my strategic questions, and I'm getting ready to ask for the gift, there's about, and it depends on the size, the bigger the gift, the bigger the pitch will be, the like lead up before I utter those like words, and to help us accomplish this important work, I'd like you to consider a gift of, right? I have a pitch that I give, and it's usually a 3 to 7 minute pitch. And again, if it's $1 million gift, it's probably going to be like a 7 minute pitch, really not more than 7 minutes, but when you're making your pitch before you make your ask, but in general, right, when you're just making your pitch for your organization and meetings, I want you to keep these 13 things in mind. All right, first, I want you to forget tax write-offs. Don't talk about tax write-offs. Don't sell tax advantages. Your donor can get a charitable deduction by giving to any organization. They don't need you for this. Don't sell tax write-offs. We actually, if you go back and listen to the major donor secrets interviews that we did, where we interviewed donors who had given 5, 6, and 7-figure gifts, the phrase that Jake, my friend Jake, uses in the interviews, and we have him on tape, right? We have the recording of him. We ask about selling tax write-offs, and he's just like, it feels icky. And he's like, I'll always be better off keeping the money. Don't sell tax deductions. That's not why people give. Second, donors give big, audacious gifts to big, audacious ideas. All right, so do not sell need. Your organization has no needs. Seriously, you have no needs. You are the solution. All right, you do not need money. Your organization has no needs. The people you serve have needs. The organization provides the solution. And don't feel like people won't give to your organization if you're too successful. All right, like Harvard doesn't need the money, but people keep giving Harvard money, right? Because it's not like Harvard needs the money. Harvard, right? They're trying to build something better. I sometimes have organizations tell me that they think people won't give to their organization because their organization is successful and they don't really need the money. But major donors don't want to give to sinking ships. All right, Alex Spanos was a great philanthropist, very famous philanthropist, became the majority owner of the San Diego Chargers. He's deceased now, but he gave away lots and 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 lots of money in his lifetime. And he once said, never, never give because there's need. He says, there are lots of needs. I give because it's a program that I'm interested in, and I think I can make a real difference. Need has nothing to do with it. All right, third thing I want you to keep in mind is that brochures have a way of finding their way into the trash. Don't rely on printed materials, particularly in your meeting. Don't open up binders. Have that stuff to leave behind, but don't rely on printed materials when making your pitch. Fourth thing I want you to keep in mind, if you are not planning to ask for a gift on this particular meeting, if you're going in on this particular meeting and you're not planning to ask for a gift, you may just tell the donor right up front, I'm not coming to ask for a gift today. Because you're there and you're maybe trying to listen and you ask questions and you want to make a bit of a pitch, but you're not there to ask for money. But the donor's not hearing anything because they're just sitting there in the back of their mind. They're thinking to themselves, how much is this going to cost me? How much is he going to ask for? So if you're not asking for a gift today, just say right up front, I'm not here to ask for a gift today. And you may even joke, and I like to do this. I'll say like, I'm not coming to ask for a gift today. But when I come back, watch out, right? And I'll laugh, right? I'm not coming to ask for a gift today, but when I come back, you watch out because I'm coming to ask for a big gift. But today, let's just talk about the program. Let's talk about the difference we want to make in the world together, all right? So tell the donor you're not there to ask for a gift. So we've got four so far, right? The fifth. Sell your mission. It's all about your mission. And once the mission is the shared mission of the donor, now you're ready to talk about specific programs. All right, programs help you accomplish your mission. Programs are the way you accomplish your mission, but focus on the mission. Sixth, your donors want their gifts to make a difference. They want to make a difference. Remember what Alex Spanos said, right? Like, I give because I'm interested and I think I can make a real difference. All right. Your job and your pitch is to describe how your organization can make a difference in a unique way because of the donor's gift. Seventh thing I want you to keep in mind when making your pitch is that some gifts are given cerebrally. They give because it makes logical sense to give, but the bigger the gift, the more emotional the decision will be. Audacious gifts are given viscerally. So if you want a gift, if you want someone to give to your organization, any gift, you can make a rational case for support. If you want a big gift, go for the heart. I always say, like, we don't need to change the world. We don't need to save the world. We want to change the world. We want to save the world, right? So, yeah, like, if I need to do something, like, I need to do it. Like, I can make a logical case for support. Like, logically, I understand this makes sense and I should give, right? But my heart makes me do things that confound logic. All right. A thing I want you to keep in mind is that your heart better be in this. Another legendary philanthropist, Marlon Burnham, once said, when someone calls on me, I can tell if there's a passion for the organization. I can actually feel it. And if the fundraiser isn't deeply committed, how can they expect me to be? So your heart ought to be in it. Ninth thing I want you to keep in mind is couples discuss their giving. If you are courting a donor for a major gift and they're married, got a husband and wife, right? Like if you're only meeting with one partner in that relationship, you're in trouble. Couples, spouses, they discuss their giving. And you've got to, if we're selling, if that's what this is, you got to sell to both. Like even me, my wife and me, like there's some gifts I could make that like I can make this gift, but there's a dollar amount that we're only going to give if we're both in it. So you want to be in front of both. You want to be meeting with both, right? If you're calling a donor for a meeting and they suggest this time, you're just like, hey, is that time also good for your husband? Oh no, I want him then on this meeting. Number 10, the case for the gift must be bigger than the organization. It can't be organization centric. All right. The case for support has nothing to do with building your organization. It has to do with your community, your nation, the world. All right. My mentor, the late great Jerry Panis, once said, sell the dream, not the project, and tell them how lives will be changed. Number 11, there has to be a sense of urgency. There must be a sense of urgency. Why do I have to give now? What's the difference that it makes to give now? You've got to create a sense of urgency. There has to be a compelling reason to give now. Number 12, recognition. Recognition is always important, all right? The importance varies. Sometimes it's important because a donor comes from a religious, there's religious belief or sentiment that there should be no recognition. Right? They like sometimes recognition matters because the donor is specifically opposed to recognition. But recognition always matters, and we should always talk about recognition. I could do another podcast episode on recognition, but we like to use phrases like, and to recognize you for your generosity. You're not selling putting a donor's name up in lights. You're just saying, and to recognize you for your generosity. Here's what we'd like to do. And then the last thing I want you to keep in mind when making your pitch is that you ought to keep the spotlight on the donor. All right. Your pitch should not be, again, to use this phrase, your pitch should not be organization focused. It's donor focused. It's their legacy. It's how they can make a difference. It's how you are helping them achieve their goals. All right, maybe one of the strategic questions you asked months ago in this courtship, maybe you asked the question like, how does the mission of our institution dovetail with your own personal life mission? And when the donor articulated their own life goals to you at that moment, all right, you were mentally taking notes, and now you are just giving back to them their own words, and you are explaining to them how a gift to your organization can help them achieve their own life goals. All right. And in doing this, you are keeping the spotlight on the donor. And I will say this, it is way more fun. Just for you personally, this is a way more, I'm just going to tell you, it's life-giving to help people achieve their goals. Like I can start to feel sleazy if I'm always going around trying to figure out how I can get people to give me money to accomplish my goals. But if I can figure out how to help people achieve their goals, now I am a servant. I am serving my donor. This is so much fun. It's way more fun. It's way more fulfilling. It's way less exhausting. And let me tell you, if you're new in fundraising, you may not have gotten tired of it yet, but you will get tired of begging people for money. You will get tired of trying to trick people out of their money. You will burn out. But it amazes me how we never run out of energy to serve others. And if you can help people figure out how to achieve their goals, you're serving them. All right. That is all I have for you today. Hey, if you want a written copy, I have a document of these 13 tips to keep in mind when making your pitch to your donors. If you want a written copy of my 13 tips to keep in mind when making your pitch, you can email me. The email address is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. Of course, you can also email me for any other resource you've heard me mention on this podcast or previous episodes, like my list of favorite strategic questions to ask. All right. Hey, by the way, I should also mention, all right, if you are not following us on all the social media stuff, right? Like Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok. Yes. We're getting more into this. We're doing some more with these things. All right. So especially you'll see on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, we're picking it up. TikTok as well is coming, right? We're doing some more stuff. So, hey, go like us. Just search Major Gifts Fundraiser at Major Gifts Fundraiser on Instagram. Just search Major Gifts Fundraiser on these platforms. You'll find us. We're putting some cool stuff up. I'd love to see your comments, and I'll comment back for sure, right? Because this isn't a broadcast tool. This is a means of communication. Let's be friends. All right. Which, right, I've said this before. That's why I have you email me for resources, and I don't just have a resource library up and give you the link to it, because I am actually interested in a real and genuine relationship. All right. That's all I've got for you today. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
All right. Monica here again. If you like what you heard on this podcast, you'll love our online training programs. You can complete our online training programs at your own pace, and you can watch or listen to them from any device. And unlike that last conference you attended, the challenge questions and action steps that come with each of our modules will give you concrete things you can do today to level up as a fundraiser. You'll raise more money than ever before by developing deeper donor relationships than you ever thought possible. So head over to majorgiftsfundraiser.com to buy now. Thanks for listening.